want to welcome you to the session on Woman to Woman. We're going to be doing a few things, some slides for a bit of the time, but I'm going to try to talk to you first. My name's Carol Tomer, and I've been working with the Woman to Woman program this last year as part of the ALCW national staff. I was hired particularly to work with the program, coordinating the details and a variety of things relative to the program. In trying to give you some sense for what happened, what it was all about, I want to ask you first, how many of you are active in your ALCWs, get scope, know what this is all about?
ALCW.
I
don't even know.
Okay. All right. Good.
But,
so many. No,
I'm trying to learn.
Okay.
People are here more initials.
ALCW stands for American Lutheran Church Women. It's the women's auxiliary in the American Lutheran Church, and the Woman to Woman program grew out of. Partly out of a concern that was expressed by American Lutheran Church women when they were polled back in 1980 and ranked world needs as their second highest concern. Number one was concern about young people. Well, traditionally, historically, women's groups in the church have been involved in missions. So it was a kind of a natural outgrowth of that ongoing concern that this program developed. But it particularly came out of some dreaming that was done by Bonnie Jensen, the national director of American Lutheran Church Women, who was my boss, and Fern Goodmisted, the president, the elected president of American Lutheran Church Women. And it fit in with the theme of ALC Women this year, 1984, that being together in witness. Let me just try to explain a little bit about the structure of the program. Woman to Woman has three phases. We speak of it as an international exchange program, but that really only is relevant for the first two phases. The Women in Global Partnership phase relates to the first two phases. The first phase was to have women from our partner Lutheran churches around the world come to the States this summer for 6 weeks. The second phase, which will take place in 1985, will be for women from here, women who are leaders in their women's groups here, to go to back to these countries to visit. And the third phase is called Women in Crisis in the U.S., and it's a program of advocacy and assistance for women in crisis situations here. And some of that is already taking place, the dispersal of funds through the districts. I think that the Together in Witness theme tells you a lot about the philosophy behind this program, and that is the mutuality that's present there. We no longer speak of these churches as mission fields. They are autonomous, independent churches now. They are our partner churches, the way we speak of them. So it's very much a mutual kind of thing. They come here, but we learn as much, if not more, than they do. They witness to us. The Woman to Woman logo, which I thought maybe I'd have one here somewhere, but if you look at things in scope, you'd find one. Anyway, it's a kind of interesting design. It's a, no, that's the convention logo. Yeah. Anyway, it's a real clever design. It's the use of the proofreader symbol, exchange symbol, when two letters are reversed. And that symbolizes, and then with two women inside of that, and that symbolizes the exchange not only of visits, but also of witness. The structure of the program was that all of the women arrived in Minneapolis the beginning of June. Yeah, there it is. No, everyone can see it. Here's the logo. So So these 20 women arrived in Minneapolis the beginning of June. We had them together at Augsburg College for 3 days of orientation. And then each one of them went to a different district of the American Lutheran Church. We have 19 districts. One district was extra lucky. North Pacific District got 2 women from Papua New Guinea, because when we sent the invitation to the Lutheran Church there, they responded saying that it was not appropriate in their culture for a woman to travel alone, so that they wanted to send 2 women. So they spent about 5 weeks in their districts, traveling around, doing a variety of things. It was amazing the number and variety of things that were packed into their 5 weeks in these districts. All the sorts of things that would enable them to meet with as many women as possible, as many church groups, get a sense for our culture, but also our church, and to be able to speak to as many people as possible. Not only large groups, but small groups too. And then they came back together along with American Lutheran Church women from all over the nation at the 8th Triennial National Convention in Detroit of ALC Women, which was attended by over 5,000 women. And they were a significant part of the focus and program for the convention, because the theme for the convention was an awakening world. And then following those 4 days, we had a few days of debriefing, a time when the women from all these different countries could get together, spend some time with each other, do some reflecting on their experience here, and then they left from Detroit. When we invited them to come, we sent the invitations to the church there, whether it be the church in Madagascar or wherever. And so I thought it was very interesting that by no planning of ours, the women that were sent represented a great cross-section in terms of their ages. They ranged from about 25 to 59, and a very even distribution along the way of ages. They represented a wide variety of life circumstances, single, married, married with children, widowed. But they mostly were chosen because they are leaders of the women's groups in their churches, in their countries. Many of them would be comparable to Bonnie Jensen in our church. They were the national director of the women's organization, or the elected president. Several were theologically trained, in most cases in a Lutheran church in that country that didn't ordain women. So some of them had seminary training, but were not able to be ordained. Well, that's a little bit about them. And in thinking about how to give you a good sense for what this was all about, lacking the most powerful part of it all, and that was the personal encounter with them, we can only get a glimpse, I guess, of what it's all about. So I have put together some slides, and what we have, some taped pieces. The tape pieces come from some of the portions of the convention which were taped. So there were some occasions when they spoke to the whole convention, and I put together some snatches of those. Also, during the debriefing that I mentioned that happened after the convention, we gathered at a college just south of Detroit and shared space with the annual missionary retreat, the ALC missionaries who were home on furlough. And there was one night when we all got together, and there was this incredible mutual sharing that went on into the night, and happened often when we all got together. It happened at the orientation in Minneapolis also. And we have that on tape. And so I tried to pick out little portions of, the talking wasn't real clear, but was able to get some of the songs to just give you a sense for a flavor of what was going on. So we'll use that as some background music for some of this. The slides will also include scenes from the convention. Some of that doesn't relate specifically to woman, but it's part of this whole program and the focus on global awareness. Some of the slides will reveal what to me was one of the very striking things about their presence with us, and that is their openness and how they are moved and how they moved us, not only emotionally but physically. Many of them were dancers, and they got us dancing, and not only in the smaller groups when we as staff were with them prior to their visits, but one of the most striking things, don't have a slide of it, but I have more snapshots here than you'd ever care to look at, and those would reveal some of these things. The closing worship service with 5,000 people at the convention afterwards, well, the closing hymn was the kind that you could just kind of keep singing, and it was a more modern kind of song. And after that, people were up in front of this big convention hall dancing, just these global women, American women, and I'm sure many of those women can remember a day when in the church dancing was not proper. And it was just a beautiful sight to see this happening. Well, I'll quit talking a little bit here. I thought I'd try to give you just a brief introduction to who they were, just a real quick once over, so that then as you see their faces popping up some more, you have a little sense for we'll start with Kataksima because she's the one leading this song. Kataksima Paul Raj is from India, and she was assigned to the Ohio district. She was one of the major speakers at the ALCW convention in Minneapolis back in 1978. She's a very well known internationally in the Lutheran Church and was always very willing to sing and dance. Deganish Worku is from Ethiopia. She's the director of women's work in the Lutheran Church there, about 30 years old. And she was assigned to the Northern Minnesota District. Josephine So Shuan from Hong Kong. She's about 37 years old and is studying at the Lutheran Seminary in Hong Kong. Slide is backwards. And she was assigned to the South Pacific District. Martha Elson Awano from Nigeria. She spent her time in the South Dakota district. Several of these women left very young children at home to come over here for 6 weeks. This is Ellen Yatia. She's from the Central African Republic. A small village named Fo. She spent her time in the Rocky Mountain District here, but she probably had to make the greatest adjustment in coming here. We dispelled stereotypes, I think, in meeting them, but she comes from one of those stereotypical African kinds of places where there's no electricity, the mud kind of hut, and it was remarkable to see that these women had made it here. We had four of the women who needed translators, who knew no English. She was one of them. But this is during our banquet, during the orientation in Minneapolis, but they got up and sang, and it was incredible to see two African women and a woman from Colombia singing the same song in different languages. This is Carmenza, that's her nickname, Maria del Carmen Mozo de Fonseca from Colombia. She also did not speak English, but spent her time in the Southeastern District where she encountered many people who could speak Spanish. Elizabeth Tudu from India. She's a school teacher there. And she was in the Michigan District. Etta Logis Muller from Brazil. She joked that people never knew she was the visitor because she looked like an American. Both of our Brazilian visitors were of German ancestry, so they did kind of blend in. And she was in the Southern District, which includes Texas. Priscilla Minziso from Swaziland, she represented the South African Church. And she spent her time in the southeastern Minnesota district. She was the oldest, I think, 59. Rose Nkama from Papua New Guinea. She's a parish worker there, a graduate of Martin Luther Seminary in Papua New Guinea, but they cannot be ordained yet in that church. Yoshie Hoshino from Japan. She spent her time in the Northern Wisconsin district. Selma Shalavalli, she's from Namibia. She was in the Southern Wisconsin district. She had been in the United States for 7 years a while back while her husband was studying at Wartburg Seminary. Marta Huma from Cameroon. She was another one who made a great transition in coming here. Spoke no English. And she was in the southwestern Minnesota district. Namyak Lizer from Tanzania. She's in charge of women's work in the Lutheran Church in Tanzania. She spent some time a year ago with the Lutheran Church in Iowa as kind of a pilot project for the Woman to Woman project. Shomei, I know I'm going to blank out on one of these names. Li Yang Shomei, she's from Taiwan. And she spent her time in the Illinois district. Samarita Yamu, or Sama, from Papua New Guinea, the other woman from Papua New Guinea. She was the first woman graduate of Martin Luther Seminary in Papua New Guinea, and now she works as the coordinator of women's work in the Lutheran Church there. And she also is in the North Pacific District. Marianne, I don't know if I ever mastered her last name, Rasovalolona from Madagascar. She used to be the director of the YWCA there. And she was in the Eastern North Dakota District. And Mariette Razzavello, also from Madagascar. Some countries two women came from. But didn't go in the same district. She was in the Western North Dakota district, and she's the director of women's work in Madagascar. And she, several years ago, spent about 3 years in the United States studying at Wartburg Seminary on a Lutheran World Federation scholarship. So not only does she have her Master of Divinity degree from the seminary there, but another master's from here, and she's in a Lutheran church that does not ordain women. Gisela Maria Atsundri from São Paulo, Brazil. She's been the director of women's work there for over 20 years, and she spent her time in the Eastern District. Rachel Malaga from Tanzania. She's the director of women's work for one of the dioceses of the Lutheran Church there, one of the districts, and she was in the Iowa District. Now I'm going to play, gotta watch the time here. The event at the convention that focused most heavily on the Woman to Woman program was a Festival of Nations, very moving event, and the major address there was given by Dr. Mark Thompson, who's the director of the Division for World Missions of the American Lutheran Church. And I thought some parts of his talk were extremely moving. Tried to catch a little bit of that here. So play an excerpt and move some slides along as we listen.
This afternoon, we actually, I believe, experience God actually awakening the world as God awakens us. We have just sung, in Christ there is no east or west, in Christ no south or north, but one great family of love throughout the whole wide world. And God literally says, that's the dream that I have for this world. God says, I am the one who was present in the darkness of eternity, and I spoke and I said, let there be light, and there was light. It's this God who in Christ speaks to us and says, it was I who created the heavens and the earth, it is I who dug out the ocean depths and constructed the mountains and hung the stars in the sky, it's I who pervade the universe, and it's I who dipped down into the dust of the earth and created humanity in my image, and I blew my own breath and my own spirit into that humanity. And I created that humanity in my image. And that God says, and I mean them to be one family of love that surrounds the whole wide world. That's what I intended to be, one family of love. But as God speaks to us in the midst of a festival like that, he says, I don't see much of that family of love in this world. I see lines drawn upon the globe that divide humanity from humanity. And I see those lines that are political and geographical lines. I see them so often becoming walls, concrete walls, behind which so many of you hide. Behind which so many of us simply refuse to come out and learn what's on the other side. Behind which some of us sit and we curse the darkness of the other side. And God says, whoever told you that I intended the world to be this way? Or you build concrete walls and you imprison people under oppressive governments. Or you build barbed wire fences. And you have immigration laws, and you have border patrols that keep people who live in poverty and desperation from entering into a promised land that's simply filled with abundance, wealth. And God says, whoever said in Christ's name you could do that? This afternoon, as we gather together as this family of God that God could create, God says, this is what I intend for all of life and all creation. I intend it to be one family of love, one fellowship that permeates the whole wide world. And as we have experienced these guests who have come to us from around the world, we have caught a glimpse of the excitement of what God actually is beginning to do. Namnak Weiser, who is one of our guests from Tanzania, has told the people of the Central African, or rather the Central District of the American Lutheran Church Women, after she had been at Augsburg College and she'd met these 20 women who had come from around the world and their counterparts from the United States, and as they had lived together and they had sung together and they had witnessed and they had prayed and they had danced together, she said, you know what we're really doing is we're practicing for heaven. We're practicing for heaven. Because this is what God intends life to be.
And during the Festival of Nations, three of the global women were chosen to give short greetings, one from each of the continents, major areas of the world. And now we'll just listen to an excerpt from or all of Gisela's greeting. Gisela from São Paulo, Brazil.
Good afternoon to you all, my sisters in Christ. When I was thinking what I ought to say to you today, I decided to begin my greetings were saying, "Here am I." And then this morning, Bonnie used, here is the Lord. I say, well, I cannot use the same. And now we were singing, "Here am I," and that's it. Here are we, women of all the world, speaking to you. It is very difficult to say something new, because we have already discovered, after some days here in your country, that we are sisters in Christ. But I think it is much more than this. While I traveled through the Eastern District, and I was talking to women, young or old women, I discovered that you all have the same difficulties and the same deep feelings I have. You are women, you have husbands, you have people with you, with whom you live together, you are mother, you are grandmother. We have all kinds of similar problems, and it is very hard to overcome them. But it is very usual that we say, "My neighbor has no difficulties, only I suffer so much." And this is the moment when we ought to learn to think that the Lord is here, and he is the only one who can help us to overcome this deep feeling that we are alone. And I want to tell you something. When I was speaking in two or three groups, after I finished, two or three women came and said, "I pray for you. I feel you are lonely." And I was really very astonished, because when we have a place where we are working with people, and I think especially when we are working in church, sometimes we are really lonely, because the people we work with look at the people who is in front of them, and they look at them and say, "She has no problem, because she is the whole time leading us." And this is one thing we can learn all together, all over the world. Even if we have a leader that is so free to speak to you, let's deal with this leader and help him when he is alone or when she is alone. That's the first thing. The second thing I learned here was to think about three Bible New Testament places I never looked from this side. The first thing is when I was looking and when I was visiting the places where you have soup kitchen, meal on wheel, and food bank. And I was thinking, not only on your country, but only also in my country and in many other countries. When Christ spoke to the rich man and he said, "What can I do to follow you?" This was not a man. Christ was speaking to a human being that was rich. It was neither a man nor a woman. It is not written in the New Testament. It was somebody. And Christ said, "Sell what you have and follow me." And the next passage I remember was when somebody wanted to know how to follow, had the invitation to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, "Well, follow me." And he said, "But first I have to make the funeral of my brother." We many times have something to do before we follow him. And then I was thinking on Mary and Maria. It's not on many places in the New Testament that the name of somebody is spoken out, Mary and Maria. Jesus talked to her and said, "Mary and Maria are important in this world. Both have big things to do. One has the better thing. I do not know if we sometimes think about this. This is something we can do all together, all over the world. What Jesus said to Maria. Let us pray together for all these worlds that is so full of need. So many people is hungry. So many people need to be educated. And we are here and we can do something. We only must start to do it. Let's not wait until the funeral of somebody. Let's start today thinking of what we can do to throw out the bad things that are in the world, powerful and bad things that are guiding the whole world politics. We are strong as women. We can do many things. We can try praying in the beginning and then acting. There's many things to do. Let's work from now on together.
And the next short talk is part of Priscilla Midniso's talk, pictured here. She's from Swaziland. She was representing Africa and bringing her greeting.
Good afternoon. There's a wonderful feeling within me just now after they sang and said all the niceties about our Lord. If he came just now, we would say, we are here, take us. I'm sure we would. He does not pass us by. We are the ones who one do not want to follow him. I am moved, and so are we all. Africa as a continent is three times the size of this United States of America. She has numerous ethnic groups speaking different languages, and all these have different customs and cultures. There is a 5% Christian growth pay there. There are various denominations. Along with this Christian growth, there is a rapid growth of Islamic influence and other sects infiltrating. In Africa alone, there are 150 million people affected by drought. The urgent need of these victims, together with feeding them to gain strength, is for technical assistance. If they can learn to dig inexpensive wells for irrigation, they can once again become self-supporting. In the world today, there's a common infectious disease, that of greed for more and more money. This disease causes corruption, power struggle, wars, and all kinds of sinful acts. Africa as a continent and a third world has become a victim of this noxious disease. The woman-to-woman program, organized by this beautiful, generous American Lutheran women, is highly commended and should be pursued to promote peace in the whole world.
The remaining slides are just going to be some scenes of the convention and the women. The pictures of the women might come from the orientation in Minneapolis or other occasions when we were taking pictures. And in the background will be various bits of music, some of them singing, and I'll try to tell you who's singing and some things about the slides as we go. Now this is Priscilla again, from Swaziland. She and Selma Shalavali from Namibia are singing. And this is Selma. This is during the Festival of Nations, when all the women were brought up one by one onto the stage. The closing communion service, different stations all over the hall, and the global women participated in the distribution of communion. At each station there was a woman with the bread and the wine, and the third one with the arm outreach was saying a blessing. This is the global village at the convention. Each district set up an area that represented the country that they were paired with. And the global women spent some time there, and some missionaries were there, and it was an opportunity to learn about that country. This is a quilt that was, now as you can hear, these women really get into these songs. Those are the African women that would do that kind of trilling. This is a quilt that was made by the women of the Michigan district for Elizabeth Tudu from India. This gives you a picture of Detroit. People have, I think, some misgivings about coming to Detroit for a convention, but it was a beautiful place to be. It was along the river. This is the Renaissance Center that you're looking at, one of the most space-age looking complexes I've seen. And then this is Hart Plaza, the stairs. And one night after one of the events, we all went out there. This is Ed Knight and Jerry Evinrude, the director of music for the ALC, led a hymn sing out there, a cappella. It was wonderful. Singing now are the two women from Tanzania, Rachel and Namyak, and they are not just standing there as they're singing. They are clapping and moving about. These are some scenes from the orientation banquet. Vern Goodmistead with Priscilla. The closing worship, for those of you who have been here a little while, the woman on the right is Norma Evers, who was here on faculty for 2 weeks. And with her is Emma Mujoro, who just finished her degree at Wartburg Seminary and is now returning to Namibia. Some of these pictures you see with women parading around was part of the closing worship service, where the choir was singing about, Lord, where do we find you? And women were asked to carry or wear some symbol of what they do. And the assortment was really striking. That's Fern Goodmistead there. Behind her is the Iowa District ALCW president, Iowa Virginia Hash. And Anna from Brazil is right behind her. Singing now is Mariette Marianne from Madagascar. This is during the Festival of Nations when all the women... Well, no, it's the closing worship service. That's right. They wanted to, for conventions when programs are printed far ahead of time, they wanted to come up and do some singing. So they were included in that particular service. They all learned one song in English. Some of them had never, but they got together and learned it ahead of time so they could sing it. There's Namyak Lizer from Tanzania. That's Rachel from Tanzania. That's kind of an action shot of her dancing. Festival of Nations again. Kataksima dancing. Ellen and Marta from Central African Republic and Cameroon. That was when Fern Karen was trying to talk with Carmenza, but neither of them spoke the same language, and they just kept going at it. Assembly in Budapest. And these are some more scenes of the convention. That's the choir, Festival of Nations, banners from districts and conferences all over the country hanging up above. We're dancing. That's Marianne and Mariette when they get together and sing. Marianne. That's a business session. The delegates met and discussed some resolutions that were then passed. The most current issue of Lutheran Standard lists those resolutions. This is Cobo Hall, where the convention was held. Marge Wold and Fern Goodenstead. The preacher at the closing worship is the man standing in the middle there, Nelson Trout, the bishop of the South Pacific District, the first person of color to be a bishop in the American Lutheran Church. The readers in the opening worship service were Martha from Nigeria, Yoshie from Japan. They both read the lessons in their native language, and then one of the texts was read by this young girl from Detroit. There was a special performance one night of a musical called The Journey, which was commissioned for the convention. Written by the same man who did He Lived the Good Life, Richard Wilson. Dr. Preuss was the speaker at the woman-to-woman banquet. Four retiring women missionaries were honored on one occasion. They all have spent incredible number of years in their countries, 30 or more years. Let's see if I can do their names. From the left, Marjorie Bly, Eunice Torvik, Evelyn Muhlenhard, and Margaret Helen Jacobson. Helen Margaret Jacobson. These are the newly elected officers of ALCW, the national officers. In the bottom middle is Marlene Engstrom, the new president. There's a picture of them in the Lutheran Standard, newest issue, Gisela. Good, we've got some time left. What I wanted to do with the remaining time is try to supplement some of these images with some of the things that the women shared with us when they were here. But maybe you can help with that. Did any of you have occasion to hear or meet any of the women when they were here?
I met the two from the beginning.
Do you want to share with us some of your impressions?
They got off the SeaTac airport, came in there, and the president of our conference, Anita, picked them up. And this was on a Friday evening. So they had just come to this country. It was before they had gone back to Minneapolis or St. Paul where they met everybody else.
Yeah, they came a little bit early to go to the district convention.
And so our district convention was held out at PLU. So then they came in on Saturday night, stayed with Anita, and then the different ALCW groups had for them out of Trinity Lutheran in Parkland. There must have been 200 women who came to the tea, and these women had just flown in, and I don't think I've ever been so moved in my life as when they got up to speak to us. One of them, as you said, was ordained, but could not be a pastor. They shared with us the changing roles of women in the beginning, how so many women are so thrilled to be able to sit in a group in a circle and get ideas of how to better feed their families, how to be able to learn to do things. And they had pictures of those things. They didn't have too much time to speak to us, but just in the few things they said, they seemed to be busy almost, I would say, 12, 14 hours a day. And then on Sunday, this is what they do. They visit the prison. She said, "You may not think of us as having problems like you do, but," she said, "we have so many transitions. The culture barrier being broken so quickly, so many people, and then our culture coming over there causing great stir." She did say that. But they were both quite fluent in English. They were very happy to be here, and we're looking forward to going to the convention. So I kind of feel I completed something that that they had started to tell us. And then they did go on to Budapest, at least one of them.
One of them. Was a delegate.
Was a delegate to Budapest. But I just really felt happy that I could hear them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone else have any occasion to talk with someone who heard any of them? You heard some of their sense, their good feelings about their visits, their appreciation to the church for this opportunity. What I have here is during our debriefing, we broke them up into groups and asked them to share in small groups some of their impressions. And we taped those things, and I have the transcriptions of the tapes. And I picked out some excerpts that I thought were illuminating. Some of what they had to share with us were some challenges for us. But first, I think this would be typical of some of what they had to say. We told them in these groups that when we had the tape recorders on that these were just for our use, so I won't tell you who's saying what, but I can share with you what they were saying. My impression is that I realize that we really need each other as women and as Christians. We need each other. We need us, we need you, so then we can work together as children of God and we can pray together, and then I learn that as women we have more or less the same problems, and I've been sharing that with the women in the groups as well as individuals, that we have common problems or experience and common joys also and sorrows. And I think you heard a little bit of that already. The kinds of challenges that they left us, some of it centered around our lifestyle, predictably, I think. Several of them commented on seeing the way we treat our pets. And what a stark contrast that is to the way people live in their countries and what we spend on our pets, and in comparison to what they are able to spend for comparable health care or food or whatever. I think many of them, because they were such visitors who were looked forward to with such expectation, they were treated as well as could be. So they ate a lot, and I think they think that we eat that much all the time. But it is true, I think, that our gatherings do center around food. So whereas they might have gone to a church gathering followed by a potluck, maybe we might normally just have a dessert or something. But they did mention that. One woman mentioned that her hostess coordinator, by the way, each woman in each district had a hostess coordinator, a woman who in that district was responsible for coordinating her schedule within that district. And some of them traveled with the hostess coordinator the whole time, many didn't. But one of them mentioned that her hostess coordinator, one of her biggest worries when she found out she was going to be doing something at some church event was, oh no, what am I going to wear? And the fact that that was a problem because she had so much to choose from. This was a secondhand story that we all shared in the office. It's very striking. Gisela from Brazil in the Eastern District gave a talk about the conditions in Brazil and the problems. And a young boy, don't know how old, but maybe 14, came up to her afterwards and said, how can we help you? Is there something we can do? Can we send some soldiers? How about some submarines? And how, it seems to me, how typically American that response is. And it's a child who's saying that. Well, I could go on with those sorts of things. One thing I wanted to get in before time ran out, one thing I thought was a very touching sideline to this whole thing. We got a letter from Yoshie before she came. She's from Japan. She's the president of the women's group in her district of Japan, and about 40. And in her letter about some of the upcoming arrangements, she said this, and I'll just read it to you. I have a favor to ask of you. I would love to visit Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of Flatbush, that's in Brooklyn, after July 13th. That's when she's done. It is my long, long dream. In explanation, I want to tell a story. When I was junior high school student, Sister Amy Baver, who was deaconess in that church, had written me all the time and supported me. She had taught me God's love, beauty, good, and something about true living in Christ. I really wanted to be like her, so I took the religious education course at the college. One day I had a very sad letter from one of the weekday church school teachers, which told about Amy's death in 1962. Yes, I'm missing her very much often. This time, too, if I could tell her about my being selected to represent Japan, I would like touch Amy. There is a stained glass window in Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of Flatbush in her memory. Visiting her grave, meeting people who know her. Could you contact that church and please ask that I can visit that church or not, and they can arrange my stay for 1 or 2 days there. Is such a thing possible? Well, I wrote to the church, and they were delighted. When we were taking Yoshi to the airport after the convention in Detroit on her way to New York, and I was asking her some more about this, she pulled out thing after thing that she had saved since, I think it was from 1959 to 61 or 62 that Sister Amy wrote to her. And she had saved every single letter, about 60 letters. She had bulletins from the church back then. And we followed up on that and asked the church to send us some things about her visit there. And I have some pictures of her visit. And just even looking at the pictures and having talked with her about the meaning of that visit is, to me, so powerful and beautiful. We're hoping to get that story published somewhere soon. I have, if you're interested, some other resources I want to point out. Another thing that grew out of this particular phase of Woman to Woman was that these global women got together on their own during the convention. I guess they met mornings, and they spent time together talking to each other about their concerns for their country, and agreed with each other that they would, every Monday morning, pray for each other and the needs in their country, and they want us to do the same. And so they went around during the closing days and got from each other the list of their concerns, and we will be publicizing that more, but they asked that the women in this country remember them and pray for them on Monday mornings. Not only do I have the snapshots here that cover the orientation in Minneapolis, the debriefing after the convention and the convention, there's a group photo of all of them up there. We sent all of them that enlarged photo. There's some scopes that have some pictures. That article up there, I've got a few copies if you're interested, got in the Detroit Free Press during the convention. Had a great title for giving the convention publicity, titled, "I Feel Like God Gave Me a Kick in the Butt," quoting a woman from Nebraska about her feelings about the convention, and then goes on to talk about a woman, Mary Solberg, who is a Lutheran World Federation representative in Central America, and a wonderful quote from her. She's talking about a woman who had been tortured for several days, and then she said, "I look at this woman and I say, what if it had been my sister that was tortured? And then I say, she is my sister." And that was in the Detroit Free Press, some copies there if you want to look at. The program from the Festival of Nations, it gives more detailed information about each of the women, is here. The most recent Lutheran Standard, which you may have already seen, that has a write-up about the convention. I encourage you to look at those things. It is now just about 5 o'clock. Are there any questions or comments? Yes?
I wanted to know what kind of political conflicts occurred and if these women were aware that their host families were probably upper middle class women and not women who work as waitresses and earn the average income of $10,000 per year in this country or less.
I think they were aware of that partly because they kind of come from the same segment of their societies. They would talk about the problems in their society, and then somebody would say, "Yeah, but look at your clothes," and they would say, "Well, I am above the average in my country."
They were aware that they were experiencing this, because I don't think in America, unless you experience being in the middle class or being out of the middle class, you can conceptualize that.
Yeah. And during our orientation beforehand, we told them a lot about American society and what to expect about the Lutheran Church and its place in society here. So I thought the preparation was good, and I think the dialogue afterwards was good, so that when they would share some perceptions, we'd be able to tell them some things about how that fit in the scheme of things. Politically, the woman who represented the South African churches, when she came to the Southeastern Minnesota District, the women there, there's a lot of education in the districts about their partner countries beforehand, and the women there were expecting her to be saying the same things that our church here says about South Africa, and she happened to be a woman who didn't want to talk about that very much, and that was a little source of conflict, or maybe just disappointment for the women who were looking forward to hearing her talk about that.
She was black, though, was she not?
And the woman from Ethiopia, northern Minnesota, could not talk about political things for fear of not being let back into the country. So that was it was a little bit disappointing, I think, for some people, but I think people understood the situation she was in. When she gathers women together to study the Bible in her country, she does it in a part of the country where she's not supposed to be going, and she says if they catch her doing it, she could be killed. And we have no sense for that kind of risk in order to do what we do as a church.
Were there Scandinavian women there?
No. The countries that were chosen are those countries that the Division for World Missions of the ALC relates to officially because of a history of relationship with that church, having helped it grow, but now these are autonomous churches. So we've never been missionaries to Norway.
Oh, I see.
You know, that kind of thing. Well, thank you.
Thank you.